Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host Justin Boone, and it is mailbag time again here, but now this is a playoff mailbag episode, and that means it is even more important, so let's get right into it. At Just Drew It, I have Brock Purdy as my starting quarterback in two leagues this week. In another league, I have to decide between Purdy and Justin Fields. How do you approach hedging in fantasy with multiple teams? Do I go Fields in case Christian McCaffrey has a big rushing day, limiting Brock? Fields has a tough matchup too. All right, so yes, Fields does have a tough matchup going against that Browns defense in Cleveland. They have a bunch of injuries. They're still favored at home, though. They're not going to make life easy on the Bears. And we know Fields has a huge ceiling. That's within his range of outcomes any given week. The rushing ability alone makes him a threat to overperform really any projection that I give him. But this is one of those situations where I think you can get too cute with it because they're not back-to-back in my rankings. This isn't a scenario where it's like a coin flip, you know, where the projections are really, really close. There's a solid three or four spot gap between them. And Purdy has a great matchup. He's going against the Cardinals. They're giving up the sixth most fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. And I see a lot of people try to guess at these games where, you know, one team's heavily favored like the Niners are over the Cardinals. And they're trying to guess and figure out, you know, who's going to get the touchdowns in that game. But really, the odds are in favor of a bunch of different players kind of hitting their ceilings in a game like this and that kind of situation. So I wouldn't worry too much about whether this is going to be a CMC game or a Purdy game. I think they're both going to do just fine here. And I hope Fields can come through as well, but he's got a much tougher challenge this week. So I like the way you're thinking. I like the way that you're, you know, questioning whether you should diversify your lineups a bit. But in this scenario, I'm riding with Purdy in all of them. At Broccoli Kobe, would you prioritize starting a wide receiver that's on the same team as your opponent's QB? Example, starting Gabe Davis over Amari Cooper because your opponent has Josh Allen. Thanks, love the show. This is another situation where I think that you could put yourself in a really bad spot by overthinking it because Cooper, yeah, he's a boomer bust kind of number one receiver, a little more than maybe most number one receivers, but he's still light years ahead of Gabe Davis in my rankings and in my projections and in terms of their production so far this year. Davis has three zeros in his last five games. That's three games where he didn't even register a catch. So I would be really, really careful about getting yourself into the weeds here, trying to strategize just a little bit too much maybe. Cooper's the better play. And in general, I wouldn't be that worried about matching wide receivers with your opponent's quarterback unless it's like a Monday night game and you know exactly what you need to happen in order to win. And maybe in that case, then you could do it. But even then, 99 times out of 100, I'm still going to play the guy that I have ranked higher. At Hegemony, is it worth ever playing Aaron Jones the rest of the season, even if he's active? Seems like such a high re-injury risk. And generally, how do you approach players like that in the playoffs? So I'm not sure what you mean by players like that. Is it players who are coming off of injuries? Is it older players who seem like they might be maybe a little more fragile and declining? You know, I think the answer to either of those really is that we're coming at it case by case. I don't have like a blanket approach or like one answer to give you for it. It depends on the player. It depends on the injury. And, you know, we'll talk through all the injured players on Friday's show. We do that every single week. So I'll give you my insights there. But in Jones's case, I definitely think that he has a high ceiling when he comes back, which might be this week. It seems like he's trending towards potentially playing this week. And part of the reason why I think he has a high ceiling is because AJ Dillon just admitted to reporters today that he's dealing with a broken thumb. He suffered that at the end of last week's game. So we don't know if Dillon's going to play now. And even if Dillon is out there, Jones is still the top back in that offense when he's healthy, and they've given him time too, right? Like they didn't rush him back. So he's going to be a solid fantasy RB2 when he plays. And he's just going to be a huge part of that offense. So I think that you should hang on to him. And I think that you're likely going to be starting him as soon as he's healthy, which could be in the game this week. At Pugs and Pucks, those needing to replace Justin Herbert but have a bye this week, who are you stashing for week 16? So Geno Smith, if he got dropped in your league, I know he's rostered in over 50% of leagues, but if he got dropped based on the injury and missing the game last week, he gets the Titans in week 16. You gotta love his receiving core. I talked about him on yesterday's show as one of my bold predictions this week. Plus, I mean, Geno was playing a little bit better before that injury, so I think he's going to come back and he's going to be just fine and has a nice playoff schedule as well. Baker Mayfield against the Jags in week 16. Jacksonville's pass defense is brutal. Plus, they're a pass funnel, so teams just throw all over them. Mayfield, if he's out there, another guy that I think is just above that 50% mark, but he's somebody else I would consider. If we dig a little bit deeper, and don't laugh at this one, but Zach Wilson gets the Commanders next week. And, you know, basically every quarterback that faces Washington just goes off in fantasy. And it's the combo, right? It's the bad defense. It's the quick pace of play from Washington's offense, too. And it just kind of creates this perfect storm. So Wilson, I think he's going to be able to have a decent game at home versus the Commanders next week. And if you got to dig deeper, he's a guy you could look at. I'd also throw Joe Flacco's name out there. He's playing the Texans. Flacco, he's been solid so far. That game's going to be in a dome in week 16, so no weather concerns, and that's always notable when we're talking about December games. So I don't mind Flacco as a streamer. And then I guess like Desmond Ridder, Nick Mullins, they could also be options in deeper leagues, but I kind of want to see what they do this week before I recommend them. At @sell_art_sell, are you sure I should start Zach Moss? So it really depends what other options you have. But yes, I'm still valuing Moss pretty high this week. I have him as an RB1. The workload that he's getting is massive. I know he hasn't come through with the huge games like he did earlier in the season since, you know, Taylor went down. He hasn't really put up these big games in the last couple weeks. But this is where you need to look a little closer at things, because Moss had a 10-yard touchdown that got called back at a holding penalty in the last game. And if that didn't get called back, and listen, it was a pretty weak call too, then Moss's stat line, it looks a lot better in that game. And you might not even be asking this question if he scored that touchdown. So on top of that, he's getting the Steelers this week. Pittsburgh, they just gave up 140 scrimmage yards and a touchdown to Zeke Elliott. The week before, it was 105 yards and two scores to James Conner. So yes, you are likely going to start Moss this week, unless you just have like an amazing running back room and you got a ton of options you could play over him, but that's probably not the case. At Tevin's Barton, what are you doing with DeAndre Swift this week? So I'm playing him as an RB2 and an RB2 with upside. The Seahawks, they've given up the most top 24 running back finishes in the league over the last 6 weeks. It's 8 running backs who've delivered RB1 or RB2 results against them in those last 6 weeks. So shout out to Ryan McDowell. He's the one that puts up those charts every single week that shows you exactly which defenses are giving up the most RB1, RB2 performances. He does it at every single position too. So certainly give him a follow and check that out. But then Swift, he gets the Giants and he gets the Cardinals the next 2 weeks. So big days are coming for him here in the fantasy playoffs. I would not bench him at all. I'm actually pretty excited to have him in my lineup moving forward. At @Blake_Fromkin, do you think Jackson Smith and Jigba steps up for the playoffs? So depends what you mean by steps up, because last week he had that tougher matchup against the 49ers. Drew Locke was under center too, so that really doesn't help JSN. But before that, he was averaging 51 yards per game over his last 8 outings with Geno Smith, and that all coincided with the Seahawks bye. Came back from bye, all his numbers went up. So we saw him find the end zone a couple times during that stretch. He also scored at least one touchdown that got called back. It was a long one too, so that would have helped some of his numbers there. So to me, JSN, he's a wide receiver 3 flex, and that's why I ask, like, what are you expecting from him, right? Because I think if you're looking at him now as a wide receiver 3 flex and a guy that could potentially have wide receiver 2 upside if he can find the end zone and if he can continue to build on this, then I really think that, yeah, that's what he can deliver for you. And I'm not going to talk about it again. I've gone over it a bunch of times, but the Seahawks schedule over the next 3 weeks here, it is money for their passing game. It's Eagles, Titans, and Steelers. And the Steelers, that might be the one that you look at and you're like, ah, they might be a little bit tougher. They're tougher on outside receivers. JSN could just carve them up in the slot. So yes, I think we're going to see the best from JSN over the final stretch here. At IEJ, best week 16 and 17 defenses to stash. So I put these in the waiver wire column on Monday. If you scroll all the way to the bottom where I have defenses, normally underneath I say defenses with good upcoming schedules. Well, I broke it down into week 16 and week 17 this week, and I have like 5 or 6 defenses listed for each week. So I'm not going to go over all of them here. I will say the Broncos, the Colts, the Seahawks, and the Bears, I believe they appear on both lists. So you can go back, you can check those all out in the week 15 waiver wire column over at The Score. At @EraserW, do you make your own start-sit decisions based off of your rankings, or do you sometimes play a lower-ranked player because you're shooting for a ceiling play? So I think I mentioned this on yesterday's show with Scott Bogman. I don't remember if it was while we were recording or if it was off-air, but yes, I almost always go with my rankings. The odd time, I will chase a bit of a ceiling on a lower-ranked player, and I'll try to play them, but honestly, I've gotten myself into way more trouble doing that than anything. And those are the ones that, like, years later, they still haunt me because I just feel like an idiot for not following my own ranking. So yes, in rare cases, I do go with the lower ranked player, but I would say that that probably works out for me like less than 50% of the time. So I probably shouldn't even do it at all. At Lumbering D, what is the meaning of life once you have officially fumbled yourself out of the playoffs? I know it hurts. I mean, you put all this time into it and, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out for you and there could be a ton of reasons, could be injuries, could be whatever. I'll give you two answers here. And I think the healthiest one is go spend time with your family and friends. Go get some fresh air, go to a concert, go enjoy your life like you should be doing. That's what I try to do. Like after the main fantasy season's over, I feel like I have to make up for all the time that I spent working during the regular season. So I go off and I try to make sure that I'm getting out there and I'm seeing all the people that I didn't get a chance to see over the last few months. But if that doesn't do it for you, then you got to get in some dynasty leagues because in dynasty, the season never ends. Even when the games are done, you could be looking at your roster. You could be formulating a plan for the off season for the next year. You could look at which players you want to target in trades, which rookies that you're going to draft, all that fun stuff. You can do that year round, or I guess you could just do both, right? I'm in a ton of dynasty leagues. That helps me kind of scratch that itch in like January, February, and those quieter fantasy months. And I also get a chance to, you know, spend time with the people that I care about because that's not eating up my entire schedule doing dynasty. So I guess you could have the best of both worlds by doing each thing. At None of Your Business 85, my question, does Justin Boone know how much we appreciate all the help throughout the year? Appreciate all your work, man. Thank you for that. And yes, I do know people appreciate what I'm doing. I said something about that on the show recently. And, you know, I was the one trying to thank people for being so supportive, being so kind to me. But then after I said that, I got a wave of messages on social media, you know, thanking me even more. And I promise that was not my intention, but I do appreciate when, you know, people are showing me that love and they're showing the love to my content. You know, I put a lot of work into this stuff and I'm super competitive and I always want to be the best at like anything that I'm trying to do. And I've said this before, but my top priority, and I'm just being honest, is I'm trying to win my leagues. And I feel like my fantasy job is just me sharing with you all the work that goes into me trying to be successful in my league. So this is really fun for me. It doesn't feel like a job most days. And the fact that I've built a community of awesome people who are engaged with the content and who are nice enough to toss a thank you my way once in a while, it is awesome to see, especially when there's so many analysts out there. We know this. We know you see it, I'm sure, online. There are a lot of analysts who have to deal with trolls on a regular basis. And yeah, I've encountered a few of those over the years too. But the vast majority of people have been really, really friendly and really open to good conversation, even when we disagree. So thank you so much for saying that. I got to call it here, though. That is all for today's show. Remember, the Thursday rankings update, that's live over at The Score. I'll have Start, Sit, Stash, Quit up on Friday. We'll do the Friday injury updates episode 2. It's probably going to be a little bit later in the afternoon because I'm guesting on Andrew Cooper's podcast tomorrow afternoon. But until then, big thanks for all the questions today. A big thanks to everybody for listening as always, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.